Hey, Score North listeners, it's Phil Mackey here. And starting Monday, September 23rd and running through Friday, September 27th, we at Score North are raising money to feed and change the lives of Twin Cities homeless. We're calling it Score North's Mission for Meals, supporting the Union Gospel Mission Shelter in St. Paul. We're auctioning off some awesome sports-related packages, including Twins playoff tickets with luxury transportation to the ballpark, a Gopher football tunnel experience, a Vikings-Packers package, also live show sit-ins with Glenn Perkins, Alex Boone, and a lot more. Money raised will go directly into helping transform the lives of Twin Cities homeless. ScoreNorth.com/missionformeals is where you can see all the packages. That's ScoreNorth.com/missionformeals. Or if you just want to donate, you can go to the same website. $1.96 provides a meal and shelter for a homeless person. ScoreNorth.com/missionformeals.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Score North Live.
Nice to be believed in. You got to go out and earn it, though. In this league, no one's giving you anything. This isn't a charity. You got to play well to earn people's confidence. So if he's saying that, it's because he's seen practice reps, he's seen game reps, he's seen what we're capable of as an offense throwing the football. And so you got to go out and earn it. Believe me, I'm not going to be playing quarterback here if I play the way I did this past Sunday for much longer. So I understand that. And I look forward to getting out there and playing at a much higher level.
The irony in that statement from Kirk Cousins is rampant. The fact that he opens up and says it's nice to be believed in when I think a majority of you out there don't believe in him. I don't think it's hard to find someone that does really believe in Kirk Cousins the way that you should believe in a franchise quarterback. And I'm not here to try and change your mind because I don't believe in him either right now. This is Score North Live, Score North on 1500. I'm Danny Cunningham alongside Manny Hill, Declan Goff, taking you up until 2 o'clock today. You can find us on scorenorth.com or the all-new Score North mobile app. As I said, that was Kirk Cousins coming off of a terrible game against the Green Bay Packers. Nobody believes in him. He could have played the underdog card at that point. He could.
Yeah,
it's hard to play the underdog card when you're getting paid what he's getting paid, but he could have.
He could say, nobody believes in me,
and it would
be true.
He would be telling the truth. Exactly. Yeah. My question here, what I'm interested in is, what does it take for him to start earning a little bit of that back? Because at some point, he has to just run into a good game or two, right? Like, he has to run into a good game. They're not all going to be like Green Bay last year, where he was fantastic and threw for over 400 yards or whatever it was. They're also not all going to be like Green Bay this year or even Atlanta this year when he was only asked to pass 10 times. At some point, he's going to run into another good game. And I'm curious if that's going to lead people back into believing in him or if it's going to lead people into saying, oh, well, this is just, you know, we've seen you do this. What's it going to take to get people to believe in him?
It's going to take a good performance on a primetime game.
That's a fair point.
Leading them to a victory on a primetime game. That's what it's going to take because, like you mentioned, he had good games last year. They're mostly early in the season.
The first four were mostly terrific. Yeah. The Buffalo one wasn't, but
the Buffalo one was bad. The Rams game, that was a primetime game. It was a Thursday night game he played really well in, and Mike Zimmer's defense just got torched and put them behind the eight ball. But again, they had the ball with a chance to go down and tie the game late in the fourth quarter, and he fumbles, and then game over. They lose to the Rams. So it's going to take him showing up in a big game, a primetime game against a good opponent, quality opponent, and him playing well and the Vikings winning the game. It's gonna take something like that. And honestly, guys, it may take him doing that multiple times this season in order for people to really buy into this guy being the guy.
I'm curious if there are enough opportunities left for it to even be possible.
Right.
I look at the stretch of games where the Vikings play the Eagles, which is a noon start on October 13th. Then 2 weeks from then is a primetime game against the Redskins. And then you have Chiefs and Cowboys. So basically, I would say the Chiefs and Cowboys matchup. The Cowboys one, I believe, being a Sunday night football game. Mm-hmm. If he can go into Kansas City and Dallas and get basically steal two wins. I think it's the Vikings going to be behind the eight ball in both those games, right?
Yep, sure. Yep.
Probably going to be the underdogs.
I wouldn't be shocked if they're not.
Yeah, exactly. So if he can go in and basically out-duel Pat Mahomes and get a win in Dallas, I think that would be the time where fans start to appreciate him a little more. Because right now, he's at the point where he just has to not screw up, right? So if he can prove that he can not turn over the football and cost games, once he gets into Kansas City and Dallas, if he wants to show that, all right, I'm Kirk Cousins and I can win this game on my arm, even though we've kind of seen that's not a great recipe for success, but if he's able to do that, I think that would change the perception of him a ton.
I think it would change the perception. I'm not confident that he's going to be able to. I mean, I went on record earlier this week. I called him a fraud, an $84 million sham. I know a lot of you saw that video circulating online. Like, I know that happened. I know what I said. I still stand by what I said. But I also want to know is, what's a fair expectation for Kirk now? Because that fair expectation, earning that trust back one step at a time, maybe that's fair. Maybe it's not. He probably never gets to that point where people will trust him again. And I can't blame people for not trusting him again. I know I probably won't either. But it does have to be a step-by-step thing. And I think it's something that coming off of last week's game against Green Bay, and then he said what he said this week, and we've played it plenty of times here on Score North over this week. We don't need to necessarily play it again. But he knows the position he's in. And starting on Sunday, what's realistic to expect of him?
Oh, I mean, beyond the contract, I mean, a guy that's getting paid that much, I mean, you have expectations that are through the roof. But I think reasonable expectations for him now is to, if anything, don't turn the ball over and execute on third downs. And that's not asking a lot.
Right.
It's really not asking a lot to... I mean, people make so much about the play call on Sunday, the second interception that he threw. And again, if it were me, I would have kept pounding Dalvin Cook and Alex Mattison in that situation because the running game was working and the Packers couldn't stop it. They didn't really seem to show any interest in stopping the running game. So you just go with what's working. But still, it's not a lot to ask for Kirk Cousins not to make that throw. So for me, it's like the expectation should be, Kirk, don't screw this up. Stop making the boneheaded interception. Now, he's not out there throwing five or six picks a game like Ryan Fitzpatrick has been known to do several times.
Right.
But it just seems like Kirk Cousins, in these big moments in games where they need him to make a play, he always seems to come up short, and he always ends up making that boneheaded interception. And he just has to stay away from doing that. So I think a reasonable expectation is, Kirk, just don't do anything stupid on Sunday.
I'd also add, too, like what Manny said, executing on third downs, also execute in the red zone, right?
Yeah.
Last year, they were horrible in the red zone. We saw what happened on the final drive there in Green Bay. You have to execute in the red zone because, number one, it would help out Kirk Cousins and it would get you seven. But Mike Zimmer's not going to trust his kickers, I think, either as the season progresses. Right. So he needs Kirk Cousins to essentially execute when they're in the red zone. I mean, Zimmer, with how much he hates kickers right now and with Bailey missing a kick...
Can
against Green
him?
Bay. I can't blame him. There's anyone that's going to execute kickers from this lead, it's Mike Zimmer. So he's putting his faith in Kirk Cousins to hopefully get six in the red zone.
I think you have to be able to put your faith in him there, and he did that, and it didn't work out last week. And that's why they lost to Green Bay, is because he put faith in Kirk Cousins or Kubiak or Stefanski or whoever you want to put this on, because it probably really isn't Mike Zimmer the one that's making these decisions. It's someone else on the offensive side of the ball. We know. I mean, you just said Mike Zimmer doesn't like kickers. He doesn't like quarterbacks or offensive players either. Like, it doesn't stop at kickers. He just, if you try and score points on purpose, he doesn't like you. That's the way it is. But they gave him trust last week in the red zone, and it didn't work. And as painful as it's going to feel for Vikings fans, you have to continue to do that. Because we've talked at length about how Kirk Cousins isn't the guy that can go out and win you a Super Bowl. Because he's not. Like, that's not who he is.
Right.
And we've also talked plenty on Vikings Vent Line this week about trading for Jalen Ramsey and how you need to become a great defense to offset what Kirk Cousins can't do. If you want to be a true title contender, the way that the Vikings have aspirations of being. So when you're to get to that point, you do need more out of Kirk Cousins. And the only way you're going to get to that point is by allowing him to try and do more. Maybe that's what it's going to have to take. Maybe they're going to have to at some point just unleash him and say, Kirk, you know what? You haven't been very good. We need you to be better. And those are two true things.
And I wouldn't mind seeing Kirk Cousins try to turn into a game manager. But the problem is with that is game managers don't earn the respect from fans either.
Yeah.
Like, Alex Smith was phenomenal from 2011 on, right? And he had a knack on him. Like, well, he's still Alex Smith. It's like, have you seen this guy? He wins. Everything he does, he wins. Mm-hmm. It's not his fault his defense collapses and gives up four touchdown leads in the postseason back-to-back years. And with Cousins, I went and did digging on this. when he attempts fewer than 30 passes, he's 17-3 as a starter.
It's pretty good.
That's really good. Yep. And now a lot of things go in to not throwing the ball 30 times, especially in 2019 NFL. You know, your run's probably established. Your defense got off to a hot start. You probably got a special teams touchdown here and there early. But when he is attempting fewer than 30 passes, he's 17-3. When he's over 30 passes, 18-35-2. Yep. So we've already seen when he has to throw the ball, he's going to struggle. So it's almost, yes, the problem is with it too, is if the Vikings are going to be a run-first team and Cousins turns into a game manager, I think that's going to be easier for defenses to game plan against the Vikings. Obviously, the zone blocking is working great for the run game, but I think eventually teams catch on to that as well.
The Vikings, to me, are, if they are going to have any chance of going on a run to the Super Bowl, they need to become Bill Cowher's mid-90s Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Like, they need to be running the ball, playing elite-level defense, and just hoping that Neil O'Donnell, at the time, is not going to do anything terrible and screw things up for you. That's how the Steelers were good in the 90s under Bill Cowher, because they didn't have that rock star quarterback that you could just put the team on his shoulders and he can throw you to a victory. Neil O'Donnell wasn't that guy. And, I mean, sorry, Kirk, that's kind of what you are right now. You're Neil O'Donnell. You're a very expensive Neil O'Donnell.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, with the higher price tag.
But
much
but
higher
this
price
is,
tag.
If the Vikings are going to win, it's not going to be because Kirk Cousins is throwing for 350 yards and throwing them back into games if they fall behind, and throwing them into leads when the game is tied and the defense gets off to a good start. I mean, it's going to be running the ball, controlling the clock, playing elite-level all-time defense. And hopefully Kirk Cousins just doesn't do anything to screw things up.
Do we think the defense is capable of reaching that elite all-time level? Because right now, I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. I think that they are a really, really good defense. They're a top five defense in the NFL. I'm confident in saying that. Elite all-time, great. I'm not confident in that. I'm not quite there yet. They're really good. They're going to win you a lot of games. They are going to be enough to make you a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they're going to be enough to win you Super Bowl.
I think in most cases, this defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Sure.
If you have a quarterback that can throw you into games on days where the defense is a little bit off.
And we saw
that they don't have that.
Right. And you saw in 2017 when they're the number one defense that, I mean, yes, the personnel, they're capable of being the number one defense. But in the NFL, I mean, you age quickly. Look how quickly Xavier Rhodes has pretty much fallen off a map from an all-pro corner in 2017 to now he's getting picked apart, and we're talking about Jalen Ramsey. I mean, who would have thought in 2017 when he gets all-pro status that we were going to talk about Xavier Rhodes just falling completely off the map? I think it's encouraging that Everson Griffin has been awesome through the last 2 weeks, and right now that's going to be the bread and butter of the Vikings trying to rush the quarterback and getting Anthony Barr, I think, more involved in rushing the quarterback. You need everything to go right. I know Matthew Collar talked about it too. Basically, you don't need your defense just to be good. You need it to be elite. Yep. And that is really hard to do in the NFL, and especially when you got Pat Mahomes and offensive teams on the schedule too.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's going to be difficult for them. This schedule really doesn't have many breaks because we talked about this on Vikings Ventline the other day too. How many games are there opportunities where you think, you know what, I could really see Kirk Cousins going off and having a great game that day?
Not many of them.
There are three, maybe four opportunities for that. There's not many. This schedule is loaded. This is going to be a tough grind. The Vikings are going to win a lot of games, though, because their defense is that good. But Kirk Cousins weighs them down in a way that just hurts them more than I think we can really put into words at times.
And they did not sign Kirk Cousins a year and a half ago to just get into the playoffs.
No, you don't sign when you are coming off of an NFC title game.
Nope.
You don't sign someone that said that signing never says, you know what, we think we can win the NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
We think we can we might be able to make it back to the NFC Championship game. No, that signing is, we're going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins was the missing piece, and he's going to get us over the hump because he's an upgrade over Case Keenum. And look at what we did with Case Keenum.
Exactly,
that was the mindset, but now they have learned after a season and two games with Kirk Cousins that it's going to take a lot more than just Kirk Cousins being on the roster for them to win a championship. The defense needs to be every bit as good, if not better, than what it was in 2017. And you need everybody to stay healthy, and you need everything around Kirk Cousins to be good and as good as you can possibly make it. And even then, it's not guaranteed.
And regarding the defense, too, I mean, they also have to show up in big games. I think Phil broke it down too. They have a tendency in big moments to really fall on their face, and it's an ugly blemish on Mike Zimmer.
Sure.
There are those 30-point losses to the Rams and Saints last year, where they allowed, that's uncharacteristic of them. So that's how important the defense has to be. It can't
the
just
NFC
be good.
Championship game.
Oh my God, it was awful, yeah. Right? So the defense also, it's not just Kirk that has to show up in these big games. This defense has to prove it can't just beat up on cupcakes and get blown up by big teams. You have to shut down everyone in front of you, and that's going to be tough for them as much as it is for Kirk.
I will say, I do think the defense showed up last week, and that might not be a popular opinion because of what happened at the start, where the Packers went down the field twice and scored on the first two drives, and then they had a short field and scored and made it 21-0. But I thought the defense showed up. Defense deserved to win that game. That unit, Mike Zimmer's defensive unit last week, did enough to earn a victory. There were, essentially, in my opinion, of the 46 guys on the active roster, 43 of them did enough to earn a victory last week.
Yeah,
there were three of them that didn't.
All they needed was for their quarterback not to throw those two interceptions that he threw.
Yeah, would have been great.
That's all they needed. You take those away and they probably win that game.
I guess what's more cause for concern, the defense like starting to collapse and crumble where it's no longer viable anymore, or Kirk Cousins continuing to go down this path of regression?
I don't think that the defense is going. I think the defense is still going to be really good for at least the rest of this year. Next year brings more questions because you're another year older. You don't know what you're going to have to do to manipulate the salary cap because you're still really expensive.
And they're going to have some work to do with the salary cap
next year. They're going to have a lot of work to do. So it's next year I'm not necessarily nearly as confident, but barring a bunch of injuries this year, I think that this defense is still going to be really good. I mean, Danielle Hunter looks awesome. Everson Griffin looks like an all-pro. The defense looks great. They had a rough first quarter against the Packers. After that, they were lights out. I don't put that one on them at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think this defense will be fine. I think that they will keep them in most of the games this year. It's going to... Now, if they make the trade for Jalen Ramsey, I mean that I think that changes the conversation dramatically.
Absolutely,
I mean, it takes their defense to it takes a good defense and makes them potentially great, and then we're having a different conversation. But right now, this defense is good enough to keep you in just about every game that you play in. And again, I'll keep going back to it. What they need is for this quarterback at this point to just not screw things up.
Exactly, that's
just
all they
don't
need.
Don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up. 100%.
So
at times, it's too much to ask, unfortunately, for the Vikings.
Apparently it was on Sunday.
It was. He was one of, like I said, one of three people that didn't deserve to win that game. The other two were Dan Bailey and Garrett Bradbury. Mm-hmm. Everyone else deserved a victory.
It's remarkable that he even had a lower grade than Ponder in that last 2014 start, because that 2014 game was a wash, too. And Ponder was only starting out of necessity because Bridgewater rolled his ankle. So it was one of the most putrid performances you could have from a quarterback, and especially in Lambeau after last year, where he basically outplayed Aaron Rodgers for both those games. So that Kirk Cousins kind of was exposed, and when you limit Rodgers to what the Vikings defense was able to do after that first quarter, you got to show up and win, and Kirk Cousins unfortunately cost them the game.
Is what it is. They'll have to try and figure out a different way to win, because Kirk Cousins clearly is not it right now, or maybe they'll figure out a way for Kirk Cousins to be it. Score North Live, that's Declan Goff, Manny Hill, alongside myself, Danny Cunningham. We're coming at you on Score North on 1500 AM, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app. Ben Heisler of Fantasy Sports Market is going to join us next, going to get your stardoms, situms, whatever you need fantasy-wise, and I think Declan's going to ask another ridiculous fantasy question, so stick tuned for that. Ben Heisler joins us next. Score North Live on Score North on 1500 AM, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app, available for Apple and Android devices. Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill, and Declan Goff with you, taking you up until 2 o'clock. Now we're going to go out to the phones, bring in Ben Heisler of Fantasy Sports Markets. Ben is my favorite Nick Foles lookalike that I've ever seen.
I didn't anticipate that. I had never thought that it was me and Big Blink Nick looking very eerily similar, but when you put the glasses on, there you go. I have a NFL Super Bowl champion doppelganger. It could be a lot worse, boys.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a ring and more money than you, I would assume.
Yep, but, I figured that out.
But there are worse scenarios to have, so that's a good thing for you. His replacement, Gardner Minshew, looking pretty good for someone that was a sixth-round pick and someone that really wasn't, I don't want to say wasn't given an opportunity, but wasn't expected to be in this spot. He's been impressive.
He's been really impressive, and he's been accurate with the ball. He hasn't really turned the ball over as much. One of the concerns about Gardner Minshew coming in was that he was playing in the air raid offense over at Washington State. And, you know, he was also somebody that I think in the country was in the, like, 50th percentile in air yards. So this wasn't a guy that was chucking the ball downfield, and people were worried about his arm strength coming into the NFL. But he's making terrific reads. Jacksonville has adjusted to him. And, you know, it's different because I think Foles and D.D. Westbrook was that combination that a lot of people were anticipating. But here you have Gardner Minshew and D.J. Chark connecting for multiple touchdowns in the first three games of the season. Certainly a streamer-worthy quarterback if you are in desperate need, or if you had Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger on your team the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, that's a great segue, Ben, because what about Mason Rudolph now? He's going to be, it looks like he's going to be the starter for the rest of the season for the Steelers with Ben going down with the elbow injury. What can fantasy owners potentially get out of Mason Rudolph if they decide to pick him up?
I think you're going to see inconsistencies, sort of similar to what you would see with Ben Roethlisberger at home versus Ben Roethlisberger on the road, but I think Pittsburgh clearly is giving this kid a shot. He had multiple shots down the field last week. You have the so-called shower narrative, the guy who we played with in college with James Washington. The two of them in over 3 years together over in Oklahoma State combined for more than 4,000 yards through the air and over 30-something touchdowns. So there's something intriguing about Mason Rudolph with a lot of weapons around him. I think a key will be making sure that James Conner is healthy. If you can establish the run game for Pittsburgh, and they like to use these bell cow workhorse type running backs, I think that's going to be critical. But I'd still look at somebody like Mason Rudolph as a guy that you can use as a stream-worthy candidate because he has plenty of options around him. And this actually just came out. They're moving Juju Smith-Schuster back into the slot. No more Dante Moncrief. You don't have to worry about the guy who has more drops than completions this year. So it's very encouraging to move Juju back to the slot where he was so dominant over the last couple of seasons. So I think there's still an optimistic look in Pittsburgh, and certainly their defense is going to be even better with Minkah Fitzpatrick.
All right, Ben, obviously I'm going to omit the Jordan Howard questions because you crushed my soul last week. But to make me feel better, who can you give me another running back or even another player who fans maybe bid on early that they thought would be really good, but through the first few weeks here are just not even a startable option so far?
We talked about James Conner being one of those guys. It's been an utmost disappointment. This is somebody that was going as early as the middle of the first round to, you know, the latest mid-second round or so, depending on how you viewed him. And then Joe Mixon. Boy, what a disaster that's been in Cincinnati. He hasn't been healthy. They haven't really gotten him going. And also, Cincinnati has decided with Zach Taylor as their head coach now, we're going to be one of the most pass-happy teams in the NFL. We feel like Andy Dalton can use his arm and wheel us to victory. Hasn't happened yet. It came close in week one against Seattle on the road. But that's going to be the offensive look of Cincinnati. And getting A.J. Green back in the next couple of weeks, they're going to be very pass-happy. So, yeah, you can feel a lot better if you took Jordan Howard in the 9th or the 10th round as opposed to using a first-round pick on either Joe Mixon or James Conner. I hope that helps.
A little bit, thanks. I feel a little bit better. And luckily, Russell Wilson and Calvin Ridley are saving my bacon here, so it's working out.
Speaking of running backs, Dalvin Cook's had a really, really strong start to the season. Where does he rank among the best in the NFL at this point, do you think, Ben?
I look at him as a top four, top five back. Certainly, Christian McCaffrey had a down week last week. He's got a fantastic matchup on the road at Arizona. I still look at him as my top fantasy back in the NFL. Another great matchup for Ezekiel Elliott as the Cowboys are hosting Miami as, like, what, 21, 22-point favorites at this point. Saquon Barkley is always going to continue to be a beast. And then I think Dalvin Cook is right up there with Alvin Kamara. The question was Dalvin Cook was always about health, right? It wasn't about the talent level. When he was on the field, he was producing, and now you have a system that's perfectly designed for him to be successful. The question is whether or not he's going to be able to last the entirety of the season, and if that's not the case, you look like you have a fairly competent backup in Alexander Mattison. So I look at Dalvin Cook right now, legitimate top five running back in the NFL, and I think the results of the first few weeks have shown it, and he's got a great matchup this week against Oakland.
So with Cook having so much success and the Vikings being able to run the ball so well these first two games, even though they've split them, what does that mean for, you know, with Kirk Cousins' struggles last week, what does that mean for owners of Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen going forward here, too? I mean, are they still going to be viable options to give big numbers for fantasy owners the rest of the season, considering that Cousins has struggled and there's question marks over, you know, how much the Vikings' passing attack is really going to be effective this season?
I'm not giving up on Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs yet purely because the talent is there. And you also have to think about it from this perspective. Like, do you remember in, after week one, after that debacle game between Chicago and Green Bay to start off the season, where I don't remember which Green Bay defensive back it was, but he said in his post-game interview, at some point, like, we wanted to make Mitch Trubisky play quarterback. And sure enough, he did in the first couple weeks of the season. He's been bad. At some point, you know, there's going to be teams that are going to say to themselves, we need Kirk Cousins to play quarterback and have them dare them to beat him deep. The good news is that with Adam Thielen in the slot and with Stephon Diggs on the outside, they have the talent to be able to do so. But because of how dominant their running game has been, there hasn't really been a need for it just yet. Maybe you can make the exception of that Green Bay game. But at some point, teams are going to just stack the box on Dalvin Cook, right? It just almost seems inevitable at this point. So I trust Kirk Cousins purely based on the fact that I've seen it too many times. You know, 29 touchdowns back in 2015, 25, 27. He had 30 last year, and a lot of people tend to forget about that just because it was a disappointing year for Minnesota. So I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins is just at the bottom barrel of the fantasy quarterback realm just yet. I'm saying that they wanted to make sure they could establish Dalvin Cook, and at some point you're going to start to see a more balanced offense, because I think just the talent on those two alone should be enough for people to feel like Kirk Cousins can adequately get the ball to them. And it's not like he's distributing the ball to a lot of other guys either. You know, it's still just been so running back dominant that, you know, him and Thielen and Diggs, you know, I'm not necessarily buying in on anything with Kyle Rudolph anymore. That's clearly on a week-to-week basis. So I'm not giving up on Cousins or Thielen or Diggs just yet.
Ben, regarding Dalvin Cook's health, is it worth picking up Alexander Mattison right now as a handcuff, or do you want to just hold off on that because he's not really worth a roster spot at this point for your fantasy team?
I think it's dependent on how big of a bench you have. Like, if you have like three or four guys on your bench and you're just trying to have the best possible plug-and-play guys at each position, then yeah, you probably don't need to pick up Alexander Mattison. But if you have like multiple, like five, six, seven bench spots, absolutely, unequivocally, he's one of the most important handcuffs in the game. I also said this at the beginning of the year, just to sort of think of another situation. Damian Williams was going in the second and the third round this year after a terrific end of the season for Kansas City. They go ahead and trade for LeSean McCoy. And I was making the argument that LeSean McCoy might be the most important handcuff currently in fantasy, because we just don't know what we can expect out of the future for Damian Williams. Sure enough, he gets injured in the Oakland game. LeSean McCoy is practicing in full. Damian Williams is now out for Sunday. And for anybody that made sure that they had LeSean McCoy on their roster, if they had Damian Williams, is now sitting pretty. They don't skip a beat. So I'm always an advocate, especially of talented handcuffs like Madison, to go ahead and get him if you have the roster space.
Ben Heisler of Fantasy Sports Markets on Score North Live with us right now. Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill, and Declan Goff taking you up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And Ben, one of the more interesting games to me this weekend is the Sunday night game between the Rams and the Browns. The Browns secondary is beat up with all four of the starters on the injury report in some capacity. So in turn, which Rams wide receiver do you think would be the best play?
I would say probably Cooper Kupp, because I think you can match up against Cleveland in the slot. The problem is that it's just from Jared Goff, it's on such a week-by-week basis, right? Like, Robert Woods is usually the most consistent option. Brandon Cooks, he was the guy in week two against the New Orleans Saints. And again, normally you would have thought that, you know, Cooper Kupp was probably the right play there because of P.J. Williams in the slot. But I think in this particular spot, he's probably another really consistent option. And it's remarkable, right, coming off of a major knee injury from a season ago. It's just so tough to handicap each of these guys week in and week out. But I probably prefer either Woods or Cooper Kupp, only because it looks like Ward is going to be shadowing Brandon Cooks throughout most of this game.
What kind of effect will Drew Brees' injury have on owners of like Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas?
I don't think it's going to be as drastic as most people think. In fact, if you're in a season-long league, maybe you can go ahead and buy low on one of those two guys as fantasy owners are starting to freak out. I think if you play on the daily side, the Rams and the Saints game last week was a big stackable game, meaning you had a lot of different players from both of those teams, and it didn't really go the way that you had anticipated. But Teddy Bridgewater is not a deep threat guy. He has a fairly similar game to Brees. The difference is that he held on to the ball for way too long, but he's a short intermediate passer. You guys remember that from his time in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not going to beat a whole lot of people deep. You know, he dunks the ball off to his running back plenty of times. There's going to be volume for Kamara. And Michael Thomas is a guy that can beat you anywhere on the field, but where he's great is, as a possession receiver going through the middle of the field, catching everything that comes his way. You know, they have Tre'Quan Smith and they have Ted Ginn Jr. as deep threats. Those are the guys that I'm more so worried about, because I just don't think Bridgewater has the arm strength to be able able to reach them. So I'm not as concerned about Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara as most people are. Are they going to get a whole lot more plays in? We'll see. But I still think they're viable and meaningful parts of this offense. And I think at some point Bridgewater, especially when they return home, is going to look much better.
Ben, what's the better bet, the Patriots to go undefeated or the Dolphins to go winless?
Yes. I'll say the Dolphins to go winless, only because I want to see the 1972 Dolphins have to have a reaction to it. Just like, you know, full on opposite mode. Like, do they pop champagne to watch their team go undefeated? Do they are they eviscerated off the face of the earth? Like, I'm not sure what happens. And I also think that there's a Kansas City game going up against the Patriots this year. So I don't know whether it's in New England or Kansas City. I have to double check the schedule. And that's, there's always going to be teams that are vying for New England as opposed to the team that's just garbage in Miami. And teams are just hoping that they can just get through it without having anybody get hurt or lose any sort of substantial part of it. So I would say the better bet is Miami going without a win, because they're just atrocious.
Two winless teams in 3 years would sure be something.
It'd be amazing, right?
It would be unbelievable. What's going on at fantasysportsmarkets.com this weekend, Ben?
It's another big weekend for us over when it comes to NFL contests, both with regular daily fantasy contests as well as Superflex. And Superflex, if anybody has not played those types of contests before, you get to choose not just a traditional flex of a running back, wide receiver, or tight end, but you get to have a quarterback as well. So imagine making a fantasy lineup this week with both Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson in it. The two of them are going up against each other in Kansas City. It's going to be an awesome game. And there's no salary cap, so you can play whatever players you want. You don't have to worry about staying under the cap. There's over $220,000 up for grabs in week 3. Plus, if you like college football, we have Saturday contests for college football as well, top 25 action, with over $100,000. So if you're playing this weekend, chance it over $320,000 at fantasysportsmarkets.com.
Ben, thanks for doing this.
Always fun, guys. Be good.
Talk to you next week. That's Ben Heisler. You can follow him on Twitter at Benny Heis. I do wonder what's more likely, the 16-0 Patriots or the 0-16 Dolphins.
Well, you guys remember the Cam Cameron year in Miami, right?
Yeah.
They went 1-15 and they had like a miracle win against the Ravens in like week 12 or something to save them from going 0-for.
I mean, I remember the 2016 Cleveland Browns, where they had a miracle win to save themselves from going winless. They beat the then San Diego Chargers on Christmas Eve because they blocked two field goals in the fourth quarter to win the game.
Remember how close to the Detroit Lions were to beating the Vikings? I think both the year they went 0-16 and also in
2008. Yeah.
They were close on both those times. And of course, it would have been the most Minnesota sports thing ever to lose to the only team that hasn't won all year.
The Vikings beat them 12-10 at the Metrodome.
There's the Manny Brain. I don't know how you do it.
The game that Dan Orlovsky ran out of the back of the end zone.
Jared Allen
was chasing him.
It's actually pretty remarkable. He's an awesome analyst. You know,
he's
actually really, really good. But the playing career, the poor guy's going to remember of getting chased out of the end zone by Jared Allen, although I would do the same thing if I had to play quarterback and be
running. That's such an amazing play.
Yeah.
Like, just looking back at that play, just not knowing where you are, it's amazing. It's so funny.
Dan Orlovsky's, his, I don't know if you guys, either one of you guys have seen his Twitter bio. It says, retired 12-year NFL QB, married to a cool chick and dad of triplet boys and a little peaks. End zones should be 11 yards.
That's awesome. So.
That's amazing. Hey, he's got a point. I would feel bad. I would feel bad if I were him. That'd be terrible.
That's tough, man.
End zone should be 11 yards, maybe.
He's a very good analyst, though. He does a great job.
He's been terrific for ESPN.
Yeah, he's great.
He's one of the rising young stars at that company.
100% agree.
I think a lot of people would agree with that. He's fantastic to watch on TV.
Fantastic. Yeah. He's really good. He's honestly really good. I like him a lot.
That's what we're going to do next. We're going to talk about what we're watching this weekend.
Oh, heck yeah. Because
that's normally how we finish up Score North Live.
So, love it.
And we didn't get to do it yesterday because Pat in Golden Valley called in with a Vikings question for Matthew Collar. So we're going to talk about what we're watching next on Score North Live. This is Score North on 1500 AM, scorenorth.com, and the all-new Score North mobile app.
Minnesota sports, this is home. Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. scorenorth.com.
All right, Score North download time. It is powered by Modest Brewing Company, and the Vikings, of course, coming off that loss to the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. They've got the Oakland Raiders, led by John Gruden and Derek Carr, coming to town this weekend. And the question that was asked to Mike Zimmer of how do you put last week's game behind you and focus on the next game? Here's what Zim had to say.
Yeah, well, it's always important. It's either way, whether you win or lose. It's always, you know, it's a long season. There's 14 more games left. And, you know, what we do in the next 14 games will determine what we do, whether it's myself or Kirk or the defense or the receivers or whatever it is. It's you know, this is a week-to-week proposition. You try and, you know, overcome and you get back to work on the next week. So that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, those next 14 games, Mike Zimmer, they are going to be very, very important for a lot of people involved. And it starts this Sunday against the Oakland Raiders. If you are going to a Twins game, check out Modest Brewing, located only two blocks from the Target Field station. Modest is known for serving a wide variety of one-of-a-kind, super drinkable craft beers. For their full menu of craft beers, go to modestbrewing.com. That's your Score North download. Now back to Score North Live.
Score North Live, one final segment taking you up until noon today here on Score North on 1500 AM, scorenorth.com, and the all-new Score North mobile app available for both Apple and Android devices. I'm Danny Cunningham, along with Manny Hill and Declan Goff. And it's time for what we're watching. I mean, there's a lot going on this weekend. Plenty of football games to choose from. Declan's probably going to pick hockey. Manny, let's start with you. What are you watching this weekend, man?
I will be watching lots and lots of college football, but of course, Vikings, Raiders, I want to know if we are going to see a repeat of last year's game against the Buffalo Bills or not. I tend to think we won't see that, but I didn't think the Bills would come in and wax the Vikings the way they did last year.
That comparison, I don't know if I love it or hate it, the comparison between games.
That's pretty spot on, man.
But like also, the defense was playing terrible heading into that game, and the defense, I think, has actually played pretty well the first 2 weeks. That's where my, I want to kind of deviate from the norm there, is like, well, I don't think that they've been doing things wrong in the way that hurt them last year.
My question, though, will be, can this quarterback have a bounce-back performance? Because they're, I mean, do they need him to throw for 350 yards against the Oakland Raiders? No, but they need him to not do anything stupid like he did last week.
You're not the only one with that question, I promise.
So, I mean, to me, it's not so much looking at, you know, can the defense perform better? Because I think the defense is fine. I'm just looking at the quarterback specifically. I mean, he's got a, whatever the hell that was last week, and it was bad, that cannot continue into this week. Just because it's a lesser opponent, it can't continue. Because if it does, you're going to be looking at 1-2 and another loss to another bad team like last year.
I mean, you want to talk about hitting the panic button. If they are 1-2 heading into Chicago after a loss to Oakland, if you thought Vikings Vent Line this week from 11 to noon with myself and Judd was fun, wait until Monday if they lose on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And even last week or last year against the Bills, I don't even think it was the defense played poorly, because when they got off to like a 21 start, the Bills, it was still like, okay, it's the Bills. It's early still in the second quarter. I think the Vikings will be fine. Then those back-to-back fumbles just plummeted any chance of that. So, yes, it's more of Kirk being ready for the moment and not screwing it up. But, yes, I will be watching hockey. I'm going to the X. Yeah,
what are you watching this weekend?
I'm going to the X. I'm going to watch the Furious Rallies play the Colorado Avalanche.
In fake hockey?
In fake hockey at 5 o'clock. So that will be good. And I will say, from a television wise, obviously I'll get my football in on Sunday, but I'm a big Succession fan on HBO.
Okay, what's that show about? Because I've seen it on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea what it's about.
So I think it's loosely based on the family that owns CBS. I believe that's the case, but it's basically a big media conglomerate family, and there's a dad who's deteriorating health and wants to retire, and there's four kids in line that could be the successor, but none of them are, like, each one of them is incompetent at something. And they're just spoiled brats. It's more of like watching the rich and the famous fight tooth and nail over each other, or who wants control over this company. It's a very dry show, but I love it. It's captivating. Brian Cox is in it. It's a really good show. Macaulay Culkin's brother is also one who looks exactly like Macaulay Culkin.
But Kieran, he's not
Culkin.
The real thing. I mean,
but
like
they had
knock-off.
That same creepy jaw, man.
It's,
all the Culkin.
It's the knockoff product.
Like you wouldn't. I wouldn't even have to say like, hey, that's Macaulay Culkin's brother. You'd be like, that for sure is. Like, you would know it regardless because he's got this freaky face. And obviously, I'll be watching The Office because that's just on
repeat.
That's
all you do.
Yeah, it's all I do.
All you do is watch The Office.
Yep. I make audiograms and I watch The Office. It's all I do.
I am also going to be reluctantly and possibly painfully watching my Tennessee Vols
Oh yeah, I was gonna get to that, it's at Florida.
Third Saturday in September, which is always the traditional Tennessee Florida matchup every year, and it's gonna be ugly, gentlemen. It's gonna be really, really ugly in Gainesville.
Florida is favored by 14. What do you think there? I was looking at that one.
I think the Gators are
No Felipe Franks for Florida.
Yeah, I mean my Vols got back on track a little bit, beating Tennessee Chattanooga. They covered.
Did they really get back on track? Though?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to fish for any sort of form of positivity right now, because it's bad right now for my squad.
Yeah, there's got to be a welfare check on you and Chip after Saturday.
Here's the thing. I actually predicted on Write That Down last week that they would not cover the 28.5 point spread.
You were
against
wrong.
Chattanooga, and they did. They won 45-0. But I mean, it's gonna be bad in Gainesville tomorrow. It's going to be really bad.
I love college football Saturdays. Tomorrow's a great fantastic Saturday. That's what I'm watching is going to be. It's just going to be college football all day. I'm really interested in the Wisconsin-Michigan game.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Wisconsin is maybe not quite as legit as they were in 2017 when they went undefeated and then lost in the Big Ten title game to Ohio State. But Wisconsin looks damn good so far.
Yeah,
I understand. They haven't played anybody. But they've won their two games by a combined 110 points, and that is impressive. I don't care who you're playing against. To win back-to-back weeks by that type of spread is really impressive, and Michigan has not looked that impressive.
Is this a well-timed bye week for the Gopher football team? They really need this bye week?
They just need to play better.
They
just need to play better.
But it's also an interesting college football year because it's a double bye year. Essentially, because of how late Thanksgiving is and how early Labor Day is, there's an extra week in the season that teams get off. Gotcha. It happens like once every 7 or 10 years, you get two bye weeks in a season. And that's why you have the Gophers with a bye week before they play a Big Ten game. And like Wisconsin was off last week. Notre Dame was off after week one. So that's why it's a little bit weird. I do think that the bye comes at a relatively okay time for the Gophers, but they just need to play better. They have not been impressive, and they have not played good teams, and there is no way for me to be nice about it. They've just not looked very good.
They got to clean things up with that offensive line.
Danny lost followers over it.
I picked them all. I picked like the same number up this week. I'm kind of back up to where I was before last weekend.
Your follower count.
Yeah. I just check on Twitter. I lost like 30 followers because I said, how do people expect the Gophers to win the Big Ten West? And everyone just like, I'll see you later, Danny.
Yeah.
Like, bye.
Two other games I'm looking at is Auburn at Texas A&M. That's going to be a big one. And the big game of the night tomorrow night will be Notre Dame at Georgia.
That's the game I'm watching. Because
you're a big Notre Dame fan.
I'm a Notre Dame fan, yes. That is the game that I'll be watching. I might be watching with Chris Hine of the Star Tribune and Jace Frederick of the Pioneer
Phil
Press.
Phil Mackey, too.
Well, I mean, I might be watching with those guys.
Actually
watching with those guys. They're also Notre Dame fans. They cover the Wolves. But yes, Phil's a Notre Dame fan. But I am cautiously optimistic about that game. I don't know how confident I am they can win, but I think they cover. I think Notre Dame keeps it within two touchdowns. But I am as a Notre Dame fan, I'm nervous about what could happen tomorrow night in Athens, Georgia.
I don't blame you. I'm worried about the Wild even scoring a goal. So, you know,
it doesn't count, though. It's fake hockey.
Do the Wild score goals?
Not many. I think they only have one in both games. So it's off to a great start.
Is it their first home preseason game, right?
Second. They played one against Dallas on Tuesday of this week. So.
Well, if it's at 5, maybe I'll go.
It's at 5? Yeah. It's at 5 o'clock. Get out of there around 8. It's preseason hockey. The obligations for postgame are not going to be very high.
Now, are they going to finally follow the Manny Hill and Judd Zolgad plan for this franchise, which is to bottom out, get some high draft picks, do it the right way to try and build themselves into a cup contender 3, 4, 5 years down the line?
I want that too, Manny. But I think they unfortunately are too good to be bad right now.
And too bad to be good.
And too bad to be good. I mean,
is that not Minnesota sports?
That is the definition of mediocrity.
I mean, even there was a national writer did his own point projection. He actually projected the Wild to have 93 points this year, which actually is pretty optimistic. Because I think even the over-under
might get them into the playoffs.
It really would. And I think the over-under for them right now is like 86. So, I mean, yeah, that's a pretty big swing. No, I think they're too good to be bad and too bad to be good, man. They got some talented blue liners. I think that'll carry them. They're going to try to win games in Jacques Lemaire hockey 2-1.
Yeah.
Because they have no firepower to win a game.
And Bruce, let's be honest, Bruce is too good of a coach too.
Yeah.
To even purposely like try and tank a season.
Exactly.
I mean, there's just too much talent there and too good a coaching there for that to even happen. Even though I think that's exactly what they need to do long term.
They have to help them out,
but
they haven't picked in the top 10 since they drafted Matt Dumba, and we all know how good Matt Dumba's been. And ever since then, it's just been dartboard misses.
Is he going to be back healthy and ready to go?
Yeah, he's good. He's good to go. He looks good. Koivu is the one. I think he'll play, I guess, on Saturday or Sunday. They play back-to-back Saturday, Sunday, home road. He'd be the last one to really suit up there. And really how he fits in the lineup will be really interesting, because right now they're giving Ryan Donato a top six role, which actually is great. Judd and I broke that down on Judd's Hockey Show, which you can find wherever you find your podcast. Cheap plug for me.
Frequent appearances.
And Danny Cunningham, who's a normal healthy scratch on the podcast. We broke that down.
He might be
on the fourth line maybe to start, but he's going to fight tooth and nail. This is the last year Mikko Koivu, though, so... And just please don't retire his jersey right away.
The end of an era.
Yeah.
The end of an era.
I'm almost in the thought, Declan, that they maybe need to retire his number just to get like a real number up there.
Yeah.
They got number one. They retired number one. It's for the fans, Manny.
For the fans.
It's the state of hockey.
I mean, the Wolves only have one number retired, but at least it was an actual
for
player.
For good reason.
Yeah, it was a player that actually played for them, and obviously, yeah, I mean...
I don't know who finishes ahead in the standings, the Wolves, the Wild, and their respective conferences.
That's a good prop bet.
Yeah.
I don't have a good answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Wolves will finish 11th or 12th in the West, around there, maybe 10th, if you're optimistic.
Right.
But...
Well, and the ties or overtime losses, shootout losses, will factor into the Wild where they...
Because it's done on a point system.
Because it's done on a point system. But yeah, I'm with you. Hockey. I think... There you go. I think the Wild best case is like 8th or 9th. And a little bit higher than the Wolves.
That'd be playoffs.
Yeah, for the 8th, it'd be playoffs. So that'll be fun to watch who actually finishes higher in their respective conference. Because I think the Wolves and Wild are at a very similar track right now as a franchise. It helps that the Wolves actually have Karl-Anthony Towns and the Wild... Well, the Wild are the Wild. They don't have a superstar, so
they got Mikko Koivu.
They got Matt Dumba and Matt Zuccarello signed to a 5-year contract. So they're going places.
I forgot they weren't made that.
They're going places. So it's been a tough year in the state of hockey. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the bottom of the division again. It's too good of a division.
I think that'd be a good thing for them.
It would. Go in the top 10. Please go get a lottery pick.
That's the other part of it. They could win the lottery.
It was fixed last year with Chicago, of course, moving up to the top three when they had worse odds in the Wild, and Minnesota dropping down in the lottery.
But fixed.
But Minnesota lottery, even in the Wolves.
You sound like Bill Simmons complaining about the Cavs winning the NBA lottery three times in 3 years.
I'm the Bill Simmons of NHL drafts. I'll take the moniker. That's totally fine. Totally fine. And I love the Celtics, and you hate them anyway, so it works out great.
Are you good now?
I'm good.
All right, good. This has been Score North Live. It's Declan Goff. Manny Hill doing a great job as always. I'm Danny Cunningham. Thanks for listening today. Purple Daily up next. Matthew Collar and his cast of characters. I have no idea who he has on today because I didn't look at the schedule, but it's going to be a great show. So be sure to tune in for that. That's Manny Hill, Declan Goff. I'm Danny Cunningham. We'll talk to you next week.